We've read from John chapter 1 this morning. John 1 turns us back to the magnificence of the story of Christmas time, Jesus Christ coming into the world. Because for many people, the story of Christmas time, the shepherds, the wise men, Mary, Joseph, because we are used to the story, many of us, it is easy to miss the wonder and greatness and magnificence of it. But here's a message we desperately need to hear this morning. The coming of Jesus Christ, who he is, the basis of our hope, the source of our strength, the reason for our joy. So we're looking at basic questions this morning. If you're hearing the Christmas story for the first time, you might well ask important questions. For example, who is this word that John is speaking about when he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God? Who is this Word? Who is this Jesus that John goes on to say is the Word of whom he's speaking? Why is the coming of Jesus Christ and his birth so significant? Was there something unique, something different, something distinctive about who Jesus is? Now, the prevailing notion amongst many in our society, many in world religions, is that, yes, Jesus was a great man, perhaps the greatest man who ever lived. But at the end of it, just a man. Even those who might say Jesus was a man at his best, that he's the standard, as it were, what we should be striving to be. But that falls short of what John here declares, that the birth of Jesus was unique, not just because of who Jesus turned out to be, but significant of actually what was taking place when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. The opening words of John's gospel sound lyrical. The first verses that I learned from the Bible, I learned from a nursery teacher when I was about 3 or 4 years old. She was also a teacher in a Sunday school. And y dechraeaf oedd y gair oedd gyda'r dyw, y dyw oedd y gair. I can remember her teaching me those words now. But they may sound almost mystical, philosophical. That was Welsh, by the way, that I said that. I wasn't going off into some very strange language. She would have taught me that in the beginning of, well, and other parts of the Bible. Look back on your upbringing, you see all sorts of ways in which God works in a person's life to draw someone to the Lord Jesus Christ. I think back often to that nursery teacher, Miss Williams. I loved her. And the influence and impact of teaching me the Bible as a child. Well, when John tells us this word that he's talking about is Jesus, there is something incredible here. When we say in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God, we hear what John is saying. He's saying Jesus Christ was pre-existent. Jesus was there before time began. He's saying Jesus was and is God and was with God from the beginning. That he's the agent of creation. He's the source of life. I received an email this week from someone who had been listening to sermons on the internet. And they concluded by asking me in the email about Jesus and saying and asking this question, was I implying that Jesus was God? So I wrote back an email to this friend who inquired, and I said, no, I was not implying that Jesus was God. I was stating it very clearly and unequivocally that Jesus is God? Yes, I was saying. That is absolutely what I was saying. That God took human flesh. That though Jesus Christ was fully human and experienced hurts and temptations and trials, he was fully God. True man and true God. Now, the idea of God becoming man may sound crazy to you. But John, all the way through his gospel, wants to produce evidence to show that what he's saying here at the beginning is absolutely true. That Jesus claimed to be God. He claimed divine authority. He claimed divine power. He claimed divine names. I am. He lived a life full of purity and cleanliness. There were no skeletons in his cupboard. When it came time to arrest him, there was nothing valid that they could charge him with. So right from the beginning, John wants to say, here's someone who was born not by a natural human process of birth, but by the activity of the Holy Spirit. His birth was celebrated and announced by angels. But here's someone who taught with wisdom and authority, performed miracles, changed people, fulfilled prophecies from hundreds of years before his birth, transformed the lives of people who trusted in him, who died as a substitute on the cross for the sins of his people, and then rose from the dead, the most compelling evidence of all, that here is the Son of God, because he conquered death, the Bible says. So I don't want us to ever lose sight of this amazing fact. God bothering with us. Why does God bother with us? And yet John is clear. This is who came into the world. Who is this Jesus? He's the eternal Son of God. And then you ask, well, why did he come then? Why does God bother with us? Well, one of the most famous verses of the Bible is in John's Gospel. In chapter 3, verse 16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How can you come to God this morning? John, in his letter, says something very similar where he says, in this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Most people, deep down, at times when they're honest with themselves, know that there are areas in their lives